Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so excited today because I have Alex with me. Alex is the founder and president of Evolve Leadership, providing communication skills and training, sales consulting to businesses and individuals. Before Evolve, Alex spent 14 years in sales, consulting, and training across startup and corporate worlds. Despite the great experience, he felt stuck in his career. Then in 2015, Alex was in a car accident that acted as a major wake-up call. Faced a near-death experience firsthand, and he realized how precious life is and that we can die at any moment. So it was time to get busy living life on his own terms. A few weeks later, he quit his corporate job, became obsessed with personal growth and self-discovery, finding his ideal career path and designing an intentional life around it. Fascinated by psychology, human behavior, and business, Alex discovered his true passion helping businesses and individuals get good at communicating and selling. Thank you so much for being here today, Alex.
Thank you for having me. Really excited to be here.
Likewise. And so I would love for you to really dive a little bit deeper into your journey, how you got here today. I know I said a little bit, but I know there's a lot more background to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Evolve Leadership, you know, our mission is be the help you wish you had. And that really started from, you know, if you think about like the corporate world, all the challenges that we faced, figuring out how to navigate our career, the skill sets we need to be successful, to sell, to grow, to get promoted, whatever. And all those challenges that we had to overcome on our own. Once you learn them and overcome them, it's like, you know, how can we help other people with that? I kind of feel like at its core, that should be everybody's mission. Get good at something and then help other people with that thing.
Yeah.
But it started even earlier than that. And so kind of a quick story on my background. So growing up, I grew up in the Northeast in New Jersey, right outside New York City. And school was just very difficult for me. I just am not designed to learn in that structure that they've created. And so the combination of it being hard for me to focus, and it was very difficult for me to get good grades. I had to study forever just to get like maybe a C+ or a B on a test. Coupled with a lot of my friends were very smart. They were in the A classes and honors. Even people in my family, some family members were, you know, straight A students, had gotten to Ivy League, were on an Ivy League path. I started to formulate these opinions about myself that I was basically stupid. And so, you know, a lot of insecurities from middle school into high school, that I was a bad student. I was a bad kid. You know, was I ever going to be successful in a career? And then when I would try to work hard, it would still be very hard for me to get good grades. And so that all kind of formulated these belief systems and this identity of being like, you know, a little bit insecure, a little less than, feeling not all that intelligent. So that's kind of the backstory there. And then fortunately, by some like, you know, lucky opportunity, or I should say like universe opening up, maybe I got into a pretty good school, because while I was in high school, I was actually, you know, pretty good artist. And I was actually in art honors classes. So it brought my GPA up. So I'm going to apply for college and I'm like, I have a weirdly good GPA for being like an otherwise bad student. And I was always a pretty industrious kid. I always started side hustles since I was a little kid. I started a number of businesses in middle school and college, or excuse me, in high school, landscaping business, a paintball business, snow shoveling business, some other little side hustles. So I wrote about entrepreneurship in my college essay as like my like Hail Mary to maybe get into a good school. And so the combination of my like okay GPA and then my essay about entrepreneurship, I got accepted into Quinnipiac University, which I probably otherwise might not have got in. And I went to the entrepreneurship and management school at Quinnipiac, which is in Connecticut. And there I took a class that was called Emotional Intelligence in the Workplace. And this is like almost 20 years ago. And so you could think about, and it's already been at the school. So that was quite progressive. The professor, Bob Halliday, guy changed my life. That was where like a major light bulb went off for me. where I became like completely obsessed with learning about emotional intelligence, deepening self-awareness, developing your communication skills, your interpersonal skills, how that ties to leadership, how that's applied to the workplace. And I remember for me, I was like, oh my God, this is gold. This is my opportunity to be smart. So this was my first time where I felt like I could actually get ahead. I could be the smart person in the room because it just clicked for me. And I remember back in the day too, my friends who were like finance and econ majors, they were like, oh, this is lame. What is this, you know, airy fairy stuff? I want to learn about money. And I'm over here like, no, this is the gold. We're unlocking learning about people. And so that's really where everything changed for me, was not only taking this class, but then I became a paid student consultant who helped other students in that class. And again, we learned all this information about emotional intelligence. We studied Daniel Goleman and all these other folks who were kind of like the leaders of that in that space. Mm-hmm. And so I used that to really accelerate my career right away after college. So I got right into financial advising, which is basically a sales function, selling financial products. From there, I went into software sales. From there, I went into enterprise sales. And I used these principles of developing my communication skills, really putting into practice, deepening my self-awareness, practicing things in emotional intelligence like self-regulation and managing your emotions and being a great listener and all these things. And it allowed me to be quite successful when I otherwise, growing up, thought I was kind of doomed to maybe be like a failure because I didn't think I was all that smart. Mm-hmm. And so the culmination of all of this, the light bulb started to go off that I was like, well, I know I want to be an entrepreneur. I'm feeling very stuck in my career, in my corporate role. I want to do something more entrepreneurial. Can I figure out a way to take the things that I love that have also allowed me to be successful? And can I help other people with those things? And so that's where all of this, kind of the crossroads of these experiences, the skill sets, this knowledge, I packaged up together and started Evolve Leadership with that.
I love it. And I think too, it's so interesting because a lot of times people that struggle in school, it's not because they're not smart. It might be just the environment that they're in isn't really conducive to how they learn. I'm curious, what do you wish people would know more about when it comes to self-awareness and emotional intelligence?
And so what I've noticed with the topics, you know, specifically communication skills, self-awareness, emotional intelligence, they're often either misunderstood or just swept under the rug. So someone's like, oh yeah, self-awareness. I'm pretty self-aware. I got that. Next, how do I go make money quick? You know, what's the perfect closing line to close the client every time? And it's like, there isn't one. You need to put these more core inner skill sets to practice. Again, like self-awareness, communication skills. And so I would argue that if anyone takes the time to try to actually improve these skills, just like a basketball player who's going to practice 1,000 jump shots, right? Like they're not just going to magically be good at the game. They put the practice in, right? Like even Kobe Bryant, like he's like ultimate symbol of like work ethic and consistency to get to this level where people are like, oh, he's a natural. It's like, not really, right? The practice is there. So with communication and self-awareness, you can do that exact same thing. It just has to be an intentional practice that needs a little bit of coaching and kind of like tracked improvement around it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with the communication piece too, because, you know, I think it's always evolving, especially when you come into interactions with other people. And just like you said, like people who are in sports or anything that they're doing, they're practicing that day in, day out. Even if they're great, they want to be even better and just constantly improving that skill set. And I do think communication is one of those, because you are dealing with so many different types of personalities and people, especially in leadership or any aspects that you would be. But I think that's the core. And a lot of times, I'm curious, we're going to go back to the self-awareness, but with the communication piece, what, like, because I know there's a lot of statistics out there that communication isn't just talking. There's a lot of nonverbals that happen with communication. So what are your thoughts around like verbal versus nonverbal communication?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. There's so much more that's being said than just the words that literally come out of your mouth, right? And so body language is a big one, eye contact and your facial expressions. But something that I've kind of explored a little more in the last couple of years is I think it's good to study up on what are the body language things or techniques that you could do to show someone that you're listening. And I think a lot of it has to do with your facial expression and your eye contact. But what I've also found is sometimes people can get too in their head. Excuse me, I got a fly buzzing around my head. People can get too in their head about trying to appear that like they're listening or that they're giving off the right body language, that they end up not paying attention. And so sometimes I'll, you know, if I can tell that a client's going down that path, I'll actually say, hey, let's switch it up and just try this mindset of, you can ask yourself, like, who can I be for this person right now? And the first place I go is, can I be empathetic? Can I seek to connect and understand with this person, understand this person? Because the ultimate goal, I guess, with the communication is to make the other person feel heard and understood. And if you want them to feel that way, then it's got to be genuine.
Yeah.
You can't just be like an appearance on your face, like, oh, look how good of a listener I am. And you have like that weird pretend listening face.
Yeah.
And really you're just thinking about like, do I look like I'm listening? And you didn't catch anything. Right. Yeah. So I found that if you go into the conversation with, all right, well, Alex, if I'm not going to practice my body language, what do I do? Go in practicing or knowing that you're not going to add your story or your opinion or anything when that person's done talking, and all you're going to care about is just trying to understand where they are coming from and just try to get that. And you'll forget about the body language a little bit, but the person will feel the energy that you are connecting with them. And then the next thing is have a prepared follow-up question or statement that can be as simple as, oh, that's crazy. Wait, so tell me more about that. Just as simple as that. And that's one of those examples that you could put into practice. So a normal conversation, most people are going to be like, oh, I just got back from this vacation. Oh, well, I went on vacation there too. And then they go on their whole thing. Yeah. Instead of, oh, I just got back from this vacation. That's awesome. Where'd you go? Oh, we went to Italy. Oh, that's awesome. What part? We went to Amalfi Coast. Did you go to the Blue Lagoon? Like, you know what I mean? Like being there for that person's conversation, as opposed to having to chime in. Or if someone has an opinion about something, almost everybody is going to chime in with their opposing opinion and why they're right and the other person's wrong, right? Especially these days with this politically charged climate. But instead, you don't have to chime in with that, right? And if you read How to Win Friends and Influence People, it's actually in your advantage to not, because no one likes to know it all. Because even if you're right, people don't like you at the end of the argument. Yeah. and so it's okay to just put your ego away, put your opinions away, just be this calm, neutral party who's just here to connect with somebody. And you'll find that naturally your body language and your facial expressions will follow suit.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that too, because you're absolutely right when it comes to just really, you can feel the energy when someone's truly listening versus listening to respond. In like their own way or whatnot. And I think, I mean, especially being a former therapist, like hearing like stories and like, I could never put in my own opinion.
Yeah. You literally were not allowed to.
I'm sure other people can relate to that, but I think too, it goes back to those nonverbals of just really being genuinely present with that person and just really listening, really being genuine of like what you're asking, what you're interested of what that person is saying, the story that they're telling you, because it's just that connection too. It's not all about one person. A lot of times it's that genuine, like two-way street in a way. And that's what I'm hearing as well. But I think that's so important to recognize. And when it comes also to just communication skills and self-awareness, I know you mentioned a few things of how you can really strengthen that. Why do you think it's so important that we continue to practice those skills? I know you mentioned a few sports players as well, but like, why is it so important we do that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I firmly believe, and I will make an argument, speaking of my opinions, I'll make an argument for this
there for
any category. This is the answer. This is what I believe. And if anyone would like to have a conversation or like challenge me on this, I welcome the open conversation around it. But I believe that everything that you want in life and your career is on the other side of deepening your self-awareness and raising your emotional intelligence. And there's like, there's a lot of data and there's a lot of like studies out there that support that as it relates to a career, a successful career, a fulfilling career, happier relationships, more connectedness to your spouse, your kids, your friends, et cetera. And so, I mean, LinkedIn even put out a study that the number one most lacking skill is also the number one most important. And that was these categories of soft skills, communication skills, self-awareness, getting along well with people. But to answer your question, the reason why it's so important is because it is for us to make great decisions in life, we have to have real clarity on who we truly are and what we truly care about. Otherwise, whether we realize it or not, our decisions are dictated by a number of things. A lot of times society, what other people have their, you know, their opinions of. Think about how many times we have an idea to go do something and we shy away because we're worried about what other people might think, maybe some judgment. There's another thing, if you take it a little bit deeper, and this requires a bit more work, where you don't, a lot of people don't realize that their, most of their decision-making, their personalities, their actions, their habits are actually deeply wired in their subconscious, coming from the way they experienced events from their childhood and throughout growing up. Mm-hmm. And so they don't even realize that they have this trigger with a certain type of person because they got picked last at recess when they were eight. Right. So there's a lot of unpacking to do with self-awareness. So I think about self-awareness should be an ongoing exercise, just like showering and brushing your teeth and cooking for, you know, eating every day. There's some, should be some form of self-awareness practice on a daily or a few times a week type of basis, because it gives you more clarity in who you are and what you truly care about. And so from there, you make better decisions. You communicate more clearly and more effectively because you know who you are and you know what you're looking for. It also allows you to connect with other people on a deeper level, because the better you understand yourself, the better you can get where other people are coming from and you can relate to other people. So you explore more about yourself and you have a little bit more compassion for, like, oh, some of these quirky things I used to be mad at myself for having, I accept them a little bit more now because I get where they came from. Or they're, yeah. And so then if I'm going to talk to somebody else, and it could be a difficult conversation, especially if someone might have more of like a challenging approach, an argumentative approach, whatever it might be. After doing all this self-awareness work, my default now is, instead of being combative where I need to argue with this person, I feel a sense of compassion and curiosity to try to, where are they coming from? Are they coming from a place of hurt or frustration? Maybe in the sales environment, has this client, have they had a sales rep do them wrong? Have they tried to integrate this software and it didn't work out? And that's why they're being so chippy with me. It actually doesn't have as much to do with me as it has to do with where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. So self-awareness unlocks all of that for you. And it's a never-ending discovery. So, like, to me, I geek out on this. I get all excited about this. So yeah, from the self-awareness piece, it's just so essential for your personal and your professional life, because at the end of the day, everything comes down to how we connect with people. That is the common denominator for life. The worst thing you could do to somebody outside of killing somebody is solitary confinement, right? Is keeping people away from people. So if everything comes down to the human connection, then we should be practicing how to get good at that and understand it. And that's self-awareness and that's EQ.
Yes. You are so spot on. And, you know, I think it's true. It's just like going to the gym. You don't get like abs overnight. It takes time. You have to put in the work, just like right. Self-awareness. It's like that mental fitness that we need. Right. And that's what I'm hearing you say too, is just really being able to constantly work on it, because we are always evolving, just like evolve leadership. Yeah. Little plug there. but being able to really continue to grow and evolve, and really understanding that it does take work. It doesn't happen overnight, especially when we feel projection from other people that are projecting their issues onto us, and it triggers us from other things we might be experiencing. It gets very convoluted sometimes, but being able to take a step back and really analyzing that and just looking at inwards versus outwards and thinking it's somebody else when it might be something that's happening internally. So I love how you explain that and the reasons why it's so important to continue to evolve on that. But I'm curious, through your journey, what has been maybe one or two roadblocks that have really ended up being such great lessons learned in your entrepreneurial journey?
There's a lot more than two.
Yeah, I know.
I am a massive work in progress. And so something that if I had to pick one or two, if it had to be with me getting in my own way and me being my own roadblock. And probably the two biggest ones was around consistency and accountability. And so, and as it relates to seeing execution through, so just, I mean, I could explore all these different areas of my life, but for the sake of like trying to start this business, I've tried to start businesses almost every year since, I don't know, 18 or something. I mean, I had a couple in middle school and in high school.
I was going to say, you already started a few before that.
Yeah, I mean, in middle school, I noticed everyone was into Warhead, so I started selling candy. And then in high school, a lot of friends of mine got into paintball. And so I looked into like how I could order paintball wholesale and air tanks. And we set up a field and we did the whole thing there. That was actually pretty killer. But when it started to get real, like in the real world where it's like, okay, if I'm not going to be a W-2 employee, I'm going to start a business and this is like serious now. The big things for me were I kind of felt like, you know, I felt like there was going to be this one day where you just like explode out and you're on the scene and like your product like just makes it. And I'm like a little bit almost to a fault and sometimes to a fault, like a dreamer and like an idea guy. And I, you know, my head's in the clouds of all these, I have 10 million business ideas. And luckily now I'm disciplined enough to park them out in the future and stay focused on what I care about the most, which is Evolve. But the reality is like, I wasn't staying accountable to the consistent execution. And so I would be bursts of energy and I would get a lot done in a short period of time, followed by losing interest and energy for things. And I did that in my sales career too, where I'd be like top performer and then we'd be down for a couple months. And then I'd be like, oh crap, I'm down. I'm like scrambling to close deals. And then I'd go kill it again. And so it was a little bit of maybe some like emotional immaturity. I don't even know if that's the right way to say it, but I did do a lot of deep personal development to help me recognize that that was on me. And so what I did was I implemented an accountability buddy. He was actually a Navy SEAL commander. And so I was like, I had like a pretty healthy fear of him.
Naturally.
And I met him at this leadership thing. And so he had some stuff he wanted to work on in his business. So when he's not deployed, he had his own financial business in San Diego. And so I actually could help him with some of those things. And he's like, all right, what do you need help with? And I was like, I just need to stay more consistent. Like if I want to be a morning person, I can't have like 3 days in a row of waking up early and then I go back to my old routine. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, I'm going to call you at 5 a.m. every morning. I was like, oh crap, what did I do? And so just the fear, I didn't want to let him down. I'd be out of bed at 4:59 so I could answer his call. And I'd answer a call. He's like, are you in bed? No, I'm out. I'm making breakfast. He's like, all right, good. Call me in an hour.
Light the fire.
Yeah, exactly. However you got to do it. But I think that the takeaway there and to the way to resolve the obstacle was through some painful self-awareness. A lot of the self-awareness stuff you got to take a look at and it's not pretty. You know, you have this idea that you're this like, oh, I'm doing all these great things. And you look at it and you're like, oh man, I'm kind of not actually. And you don't have to beat yourself up over it. But what you want to do is be honest about how you're going to fix it. And so what I knew for me is when I need to change habits, I need some external accountability to kick me in the butt a little bit until it starts to become routine. And then I can get it into habit category. And then it's like pretty much good. And the more that I can just move things into habit category, the more that like every area of my life got much, much better. Evolve finally started to grow in like really meaningful ways. We took on really great clients. We executed great client projects. And it's like, oh my God, this is all happening. But it's because we like stayed consistent on the stuff that's like not always that fun to do, right? A lot of entrepreneurship's like not that glamorous and it could be quite lonely. And you're having that moment where you're like, oh, I don't really feel like doing this right now. And you're like, all right, but this is that crossroads. Yeah. And this is that moment where I either let myself off the hook and I push out my goals that much more, or I just do the things I know that I should. And luckily now it's more ingrained. So to answer your question, those big obstacles were like the accountability around consistency for me. Once I really owned that, everything changed.
Yeah, that's like the biggest thing too, though, with everything. If you're consistent, you're going to see those results, even if it might not feel like you're seeing them or you might get that crossroad, but it's like pushing through that because it's like, you know, those memes you see on like any social media platform where it's like they're digging and like they're like almost there, but then they're almost at the goal.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so true.
And that's what like popped in my head.
And it's also, it's so important to be aligned doing work that you truly care about because it is that hard. And you need to have faith that it's like, if this is going to take a lot longer, I still believe in what I'm doing and love what I'm doing. And it's one of the reasons why I just don't recommend people to get into a business of something just for money. I know it sounds like kind of like unrealistic because people are like, well, I got bills to pay. It's like, then do it through a W-2 because it's so hard and it takes so long. You have to enjoy the process. I know that that's a cliche saying, but that is the truth. Mm-hmm. So for me, everything that I do with Evolve, some of the mundane tasks, they're just like operational things on the business. Luckily, I have a co-founder, my business partner, Scott, and we can divide and conquer. And we'll, and sometimes if stuff is like that, we'll just do it together on Zoom. Cause we're like, all right, well, let's just get through this checklist. but the category of the work that I'm doing, I naturally geek out on. It doesn't matter to me what I make. We obviously want to grow. Money's important. Want to travel and take care of our family and all those things. But like, I would do it anyway. I did it for free for far too long until I had a coach who was like, yo, you need to charge way more for this. So that's, I would strongly, strongly recommend. And this is also back to self-awareness. Anyone who's thinking about starting a business or they're currently in one and things are going a little bit tough, take an honest look at yourself, open up that self-awareness. Is this aligned with who I truly am, what I truly care about? And you can ask yourself simple questions like, if money didn't matter or money would be taken care of, but I still had to work, what would I do? What would I do if I knew that it might take a year to succeed, but I just love doing it. And I just love helping people with it, right? Is it teaching someone piano? Good, go do that. Is it developing software for mobile apps because you just love building? Good, go do that. It doesn't matter what it is. It has to be aligned. The only way to get that clarity for yourself is a practice of self-awareness.
And it's living that purposeful life, right? It's being able to really be aligned with what your core values are. And I think that's really what capturing what you said too. It's understanding that it might take longer than you expect. Majority of the time it's going to take longer than you expect.
I had a mentor a while ago tell me, I gave him my business plan for one of my first businesses. It was in the apparel space and it got really close. That's weirdly like resurfaced that I could maybe sell it to a company as a licensing deal, which is just kind of like a weird coincidence. But he was a mentor and he was helping me. And he goes, rule of thumb for the rest of your entrepreneurial life, however much you think it's going to cost, double it. And however long you think it's going to take, double it. And I'm like, no way. And any plan I had for 6 months, I'm coming up on month 12. And I'm like, oh God, he was right.
Never like, fails.
Yeah. Whatever you think it is, just double it. That's probably realistic. And then sadly, it's probably longer than that. So,
you know, you're not wrong. But with that being said, I know you've had a lot of success with clients and things along those lines. What are maybe one or two client success stories you could share with us to take us through the journey that of what you do for your clients?
Yeah. So, a pretty exciting one is, in the real estate space, we, actually helped a client, build out all of their sales processes start to finish. So basically Evolve does sales consulting and training, and then communication skills training, both for businesses and individuals. So just helping people become more effective communicators, deepen self-awareness, EQ, and all of that. And this was really exciting because this was an opportunity for us to do everything we do. And so we went through like a, you know, fine-tooth comb their entire sales process. We revamped it both on the operational side, fixing up their CRM, organizing their pipeline, their funnel stages, how you move opportunities through the funnel stage, each funnel stage, into forecast, into close. We put together all of their messaging. We did it all first manually to see what messages worked, what didn't. Once we really got a rhythm down for the right way to communicate to the different types of clients, we would put those in automatic responders and put them on email sequences or automatic replies, things like that. We put together an entire playbook for them. And then now we're going into a phase two where we're hiring out the sales team, which we'll be kind of doing like a remote management opportunity where we'll train them on everything that we just created. But it was very successful. We put together a system that helped them raise you know, quite a bit of money and get some deals done. And so it was, it was very, very exciting. And so it was like, all right, cool. That was our first try. It worked out better than we thought. Now let's scale it. So this is just a side note piece of advice to any founder out there. I had to walk this walk. Every founder has to walk this walk. Every entrepreneur, you have to do the selling first. No matter what, you don't hire. I'm going to hire a 1099. He's going to figure all this out. No, you're not. Because the person who can do that for you costs a lot of money and will probably need equity, or the person who says they're going to do that isn't going to execute. And then you're going to just be left having to do start all over again from scratch 6 months later. So the way to do it is you as the founder need to prove it out first, which they did. And then they came to us with like, hey, we have some proof that this works. Now we need to figure out how to scale it. Before you scale, you need something repeatable.
Yeah.
So this thing that worked a few times, does it work consistently? Do we have numbers around how it works? X amount of calls leads to X amount of meetings, leads to X amount of opportunities and X amount of closed deals. And can we prove that to a point where it's repeatable? And then once it's repeatable, then you go for scale. Too many founders go, I'm going to hire someone else and then I'm going to scale that. And they don't have a working system yet. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the playbooks, and now we're getting into the skills training. So how to conduct yourself on these meetings, how to present the right questions to ask, all the different messaging for the different parts of the meetings. It's been amazing. So yeah, we're thrilled. So that's probably one of our more recent clients to date.
I really enjoy the fact that it's about understanding there's a foundation piece in order to scale. And I always say this because I think it's true and it just puts a picture in my head, but having a house, you don't put the roof on first or start putting the walls up. You put the foundation, you lay the concrete so you can build upon that. And it's the same concept I'm hearing from you too, is being able to understand the foundational pieces of what is important for a founder to really be able to duplicate each step one step at a time and see that repeat. And once it's repeating, then you can actually see those results and be able to hire someone like you. Well, I would really love to know too, what are maybe a few things that you really wish you knew in the beginning of your business that you know now that maybe you haven't mentioned? I know you've mentioned a lot of great tips, but what are maybe the most important things that you wish you would have known in the beginning?
Not to fall for some of the stuff out there that feels like it's the hack or the trick or the secret sauce is really just a way to cut corners and it doesn't work. So in the beginning, I had some success coaching individuals. Mm-hmm. I was all right, how can it be more scalable to coach some folks? And so I made online courses and I was kind of selling them manually for people who didn't really want to pay the full coaching package, but they still wanted my help. So I directed them to the online courses and I'm like, all right, I want to scale this. And so then of course it's like, oh, it's got to be Facebook ads to the webinar, to that whole funnel. That's all good. And I'm sure that maybe works for some people, but we didn't have an audience. No one had heard of me and we didn't have a really thought out Facebook ad strategy with retargeting and all this other stuff. And so maybe other people who are listening are like, oh, this really does work for me. And Alex just screwed up. Maybe it's possible. But we hired a marketing agency to do this. Mm-hmm. And none of the Facebook ads to the webinar, to the online courses panned out in a really meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, I wish we spent that time not spent on ads and not trying to ramp things quickly. And we spent more time trying to grow organically. Because I think now I'm learning, I think that is the way. And that is a form of maybe cutting corners. Again, maybe other people have success with this and I'm just an amateur sales guy who doesn't understand marketing, but it seemed like anyone who that marketing agency we worked with, their clients who were successful were already hundreds of thousands of followers or at least tens of thousands. They had a big email list and I'm over here, I'm starting off with nothing. And they were like, oh, well you can grow that way with Facebook ads and this whole funnel thing. And it just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So the lesson I think is for anyone starting off, and it was a painful one because deep down I was like, I don't think this is the right approach, but we just went with it anyway. I think the lesson is in the beginning and probably for a while, you have to do the unscalable things. Everyone is looking for this passive income, automated this, blah, blah, blah. You can't automate what you don't know works for sure. And the only way you know that it works is by manually doing it. So I went back to my old school sales roots where I went back to prospecting on LinkedIn and networking with people and sending messages and picking up the phone and networking with groups. And I found leads and I built a pipeline and I nurtured it like a sales process. And those were the clients that I closed. And those are the ones that I started working with, sales consulting and who hired, paid for my courses and hired me for coaching and not from this automated, sort of cut corner strategy. And so that was a tough lesson, but at least after only a couple months, we were all right, let's pivot and take control over our biz dev.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I think any founder, any entrepreneur, you got to go into it for the right reasons. It's because you love it and you want to help people do the thing that you know how to help people do, or, you know how to help people with. Mm-hmm. And you got to do the unscalable stuff in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to do that, you're probably going to be successful. If you're just chasing a dream of passive income and automated, you know, mailbox money or whatever, like you're probably maybe in it for the wrong reason. So you want to take a look at that.
You know, I think that's really important what you said too. It's being able to actually be in the trenches of everything and being able to really just connect that human connection with every individual you come across in the beginning, because there is this misconception that, okay, if I hire this person, they're going to grow my business for me, or this ad's going to really market and take off. In the beginning, people don't know who you are.
Right.
Some people do.
Right.
But I have a similar experience, but I think what you're saying too is, you know, you tried something, it didn't work, and not everything works for everybody, but I think it's like having the fundamental basics is what I'm hearing too, like being able to go back to the basics, working from the ground floor to really build upon, because you're right, you can't just scale from 0 to 1 million. It might be 0 to 10, but right. being able to like know where you are in that journey, and it doesn't make you less than or anything like that. It just shows that you're willing to put in the work because you right. want it and you love what you're doing. Going back to what you were saying earlier too, the right. self-awareness piece, be aware
right.
of what's going
on. Spot on. You're exactly right. And you made a good point. That's a really simple one, but it's really a big one, is you're willing to do the work, right? You're like, it's like you can't have an ego around it just because you decided you're an entrepreneur now. It's like, it's not glamorous. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I think it's my calling. I just have too much of that free spirit thing. I just can't work for other people. It's weird because I can't work for other people, but I do, like, I work for my clients really well, because at least, like, I'm at the end of the day, I'm like, or at least it's for Evolve. But like when I work with my clients, I'm like very, 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 I look like a really good, like almost like employee, because even though I'm consulting, it's like we're, you know, on their time and we're making sure this project's getting done. We're kind of constantly checking in with management. We're staying all accountable to goals, but that's as far as I'm going to go there. what was I going to say? It's like, you ever notice on Shark Tank, Mark Cuban loves hearing that the person went and sold door to door.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I think one of the guys a few years ago, he sold his belts door to door. And he was in town for, I don't know if it was Shark Tank, and he was waiting for his day to go on stage or something. And he just decided to walk around the neighborhoods where they were filming and sell his belts. And Cuban was like, I freaking love that. That's that hustle. You're willing to do the work.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I talked to some entrepreneurs, some early stage founders, especially, and I'll give them some advice, and it will be part of our kind of out of our qualification stage. Mm-hmm. And I might give them some advice and then come back and we talk about it. So it's almost like a little like free coaching.
Yeah.
And if they don't do those things where it's like, hey man, we talked about you prospecting and picking up the phone or sending out some emails. How many did you get done? If the answer is kind of next to zero, that's a red flag for me that they might not be willing to do the work that I'm going to ask them to do when we become clients. Or when they become a client. And that's a red flag for me that it's like, and then I've talked to other people who I don't need to suggest that they do that. I spoke with a woman who's got a vegan cheese alternative that she's trying to sell B2B. And when I spoke with her, she's like, I'm already calling on all these restaurants. I'm connecting with all these other branded chefs, and she's already out there hustling. I was like, I don't need to worry about you. This is just a matter of time. It's not an if, it's a when. You have other people, it's been a year, and it's like, have you picked up the phone and just tried to call people and tell them what you're up to? It's like, no, I gotta finish my beta testing. And it's like, no, you need to talk to people. You need to let everyone know what you're doing.
Yeah. So, well, you brought up a really good point too. It's like, people need to know what you do, because there's a lot of sometimes fear-based, just other entrepreneurs that I've spoken with, that in the beginning, they're like, oh, I don't know what people are going to think of me. Just kind of like we were talking about earlier too. But there's this like fear of talking about it or posting about it. Oh, I'm posting too much. If you don't post enough, how do people know? Not everyone sees everybody's stuff right. every single day, but you might feel like you're being annoying. And maybe it's a lot, but those people will slowly move away versus the people that you're trying to attract will come. And just like what you were saying too, it's the work ethic, it's putting it out there, it's talking about it, letting people know you exist, your business exists, because I think there's room for everything. It's just a matter of what approach you take. And just like what you were saying, it's putting yourself out there, doing the work, the groundwork is where you're going to see those results. So then they can work with you.
You're exactly right. And you're fantastic at that, by the way. And I remember we connected on that maybe a little over a year ago. That actually might've been 2020, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah. And it's funny because I'll even get in that own, my own trap where it's like, I'm so used to the traditional sales process that when I think about social media, I like sometimes cringe with social media. I go back and forth, but really that's me and my own, you know, negative problem with it. That isn't really true because it's whatever lens you look at. I could also look at the lens of what an unbelievable marketing platform, which it is. Mm-hmm. And so I remind myself of that again. And then for anyone out there listening, to your point, Carolyn, is think about the value that you're providing, your product or service, or your you know, your consulting, your coaching, or if you have physical product or whatever. Mm-hmm. What is the value that it provides? And think about it from the perspective of that you have a responsibility to help people. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it that way, where it's like, so now I'm actually withholding information that could help somebody else. How selfish are you?
Right.
So you, it's like, oh, you know, it's not really about my ego. And if I'm going to be annoying people, it's my job to help the person who's out there who needs to hear my message today. Mm-hmm. And that helps you get into a state of action where you get out of your head in the fear of judgment and more into that state, into the, basically the road of service.
Yes.
And truly helping people. And if that's, again, back to like, if you're in business for the right reasons,
yeah,
then get that message out there.
Right.
I gotta take my own advice too. Like on a regular basis, I'll post a lot and I'm like, oh, social media is annoying. But then I get client from it. I'm like, all right, keep it going. You're helping people, get your value out there. So
it's full circle. And you're right. Like ego is a really big thing. Like getting stuck in your mind. Like that was me in the beginning. That's what I'm saying. Like everything I just said is because I experienced that.
Yeah, exactly. We've all been there. We took a few on the chin, got knocked down a little bit, and then we're like, oh, okay, I got it now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just gotta, you know, it's to go like riding it. A bike, right? Like, yeah. You know, you take the training wheels off, you fall maybe a few times, but you get back up, and then, you know, it just starts to get a little more natural.
Yes, exactly.
Sometimes not so much, but you know, it depends on the bike.
Yeah.
But with that being said, Alex, I've been having such a great time with you today, but we're gonna jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Oh, okay. Pressure's on.
What motivates you to work smarter?
Honestly, having more of my time back to do the things that I love, spend time with family and friends and travel and hobbies, surf, snowboard, photography, traveling around. So that is the motivation, is the overall lifestyle that I'm trying to design, that I have designed and continue to evolve.
I feel like you've designed it. Well, that's amazing. And if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
I don't know if this is very like inspirational or businessy, but it always comes back to flying. I just think that would be so cool.
Yeah, of course.
Fly, like no more Ubers, no more jet, no more planes. Just I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to Costa Rica, or I can like just fly over there and get lunch. Like, I love that idea.
Simple things.
It'd be so fun. Yeah.
I think it's an important one. Eventually we'll all be able to fly. I feel like it's just like in the cards.
Yeah, exactly. Only a matter of time.
We'll just have to manage it a little bit. So if you were to share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
So this would be like a mixed bag, purely so I could just shut up and listen for hours and hours of all their crazy insights or stories or intellect, experience, or whatever. And so I think a more modern day person would actually be Neil Strauss. I'm not sure if you know him. He used to be a Rolling Stones author. He's got a lot of books out there, but I follow him on Instagram and I've read some of his other books. And like, I really appreciate the way he views the world. His advice on people, relationships, your own healing and self-discovery. I just find him to be one of the great thinkers of our time. I just think he's amazing. Mm-hmm. So Neil Strauss would be one. To spice it up a little bit, I'd probably do Hunter S. Thompson. So Hunter S. Thompson, he's part of like Gonzo Journalism, but the movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is, he wrote the book and the movie's like about him. So he's a wild one, like wild. And so I read, I don't know if it was like a memoir or what it was. It was like, it wasn't a full book, but it was like this thing that I downloaded. I don't know if it was on a Kindle or something. It was a couple of years ago, but he just had a crazy, crazy life, a crazy outlook on life as well. I don't know that he's like some inspirational person, but if you're going to get some good stories, he's definitely got them.
It's whoever you want it there.
And then I was thinking like someone like, just a brilliant, you know, philosopher or someone from the past who could talk about what the past was like. So I picked Galileo. I mean, he basically invented or had a lot to do with the invention of science that we use today. You know, studying Jupiter in the 1500s. Like, I mean, are you kidding me? So I would just sit there and listen to him talk forever. And then, is that three or four? How many are on there? So Neil Strauss, Hunter S. Thompson, Galileo, and then, oh my God, I'm blanking on my last one. I think I wrote it down. Let me get it really quick. Is that cheating that I thought about it ahead of time? Oh, and then Stephen Greer. I don't know if you know Stephen Greer, but he's the one, he's like the UFO guy who's got the Netflix specials. Because I'm pretty fascinated with UFOs and extraterrestrials. I think everyone is right now. Everyone's like, when are we going to see one? So I definitely want to hear some alien stories from him.
That would be really fascinating. What a table.
Yeah.
So what is the most daring thing you've ever done?
I guess probably like, it's weird. Starting Evolve equal parts. And maybe the first time I left the corporate world to start that jacket product, the apparel product. It's weird because I guess it's daring because I left a very comfortable corporate world and salary where I was like otherwise doing well, but still felt like something was missing. And I had to do it. Like I had to, but in hindsight, it was like probably riskier than I realized it was. You know, and so I get that, especially like financially, because it took longer than I expected to get consistent income that was like replacing my W-2 and getting to a place of some stability. That took longer than I thought. And so, because you land a couple clients and then, you know, it's just, that's the way it goes, right? So I don't know if you know, I've like jumped out of airplanes and done some cool stuff like that. But like when I shared that I, you know, left the corporate world and then the pandemic hit. And so it was like, I was doing all this during that time. People were like, wow, you really picked a time to go off on your own. Like, so I guess it's daring because I walked away from a situation or a world that had a more predictable and lucrative career or corporate path. But at the end of the day, I just had to do that. Otherwise I would have been very, very unhappy and unfulfilled.
Yeah. Well, it is very daring, but look where it led you.
Same with you. You're doing your own thing too and crushing it as well. And you have for a few years. So props to you as well.
Thank you. And what is the last book that you've read or listened to?
So the last one is Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. And I've actually read that one before, but I revisited it again because honestly, I just love it. And it's just, he articulates things in such a simple way that are so effective. And it's in, you know, obviously in the realm of communication. And then I just started a book. I have it over there. I think it's called Loyalty to Your Soul or something like that. I literally just got it. I'll share it with you. We could put it in the show notes or something, but, cause I am seeking more of a, you know, trying to be well-rounded in my life, more on the spiritual aspect that I feel has maybe fallen a little bit by the wayside when focusing so much on, you know, work and these other things. And so in an effort to stay well-rounded and feeling kind of like nourished internally, I'm seeking more of that spirituality. So
I love that. Yes, please let me know what the book is because it sounds really fascinating.
It's right there, I could get it.
So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
Oh man. I forgot this one. So who's the actor who is just in Top Gun that everyone's obsessed with?
Miles.
Yeah, the Miles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the reason, only reason I pick him is because my favorite actors are like way older than me. So I don't think it'd be like, I think it'd be weird if Tom Hanks or like Leonardo DiCaprio or Matt Damon or someone played me, but maybe not.
You're like dad or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I think my, you know, Miles and I were roughly like the same age, but mm-hmm. I remember that I feel like, you know, there's a little bit of that hero's journey, a little bit of that underdog sort of life that I had, whether it was self-imposed with beliefs or wherever, whatever it was, that's kind of how I've always felt. And then I am a little bit like, you know, behind the scenes, like kind of nerdy, quirky. People who know me know that, but you know, I know I always come off that way, but I am kind of like, I like to geek out on a lot of different things, and I could be a little socially awkward depending on the situation. And I remember seeing him in a couple movies. I think one of them was War Dogs, and he started off as like the underdog, and then he became like a more of like a badass entrepreneur. And so that's, you know, what I'm trying to get to, but in a more legitimate way. No, you know, not selling, you know, weapons to terrorists or anything. But so I just, when you, I thought of him, I was like, oh, that was like a little, kind of like a similar journey where he's like lost and trying to find his way. And then, you know, kind of figured it out a little bit. So I'd cast him, I guess.
Well, sounds good. I feel like you're definitely making things happen though. And that's the beautiful thing of the whole story. And so if you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality type, style, what animal would you be?
An elephant.
Okay.
Not for size.
I didn't think that, so.
I'm not that tall or big of a person. But it's weird because I discovered this when I went to Thailand a few years ago, but elephants are very like complex. They're very, very emotionally intelligent. They're very self-aware. They're very connected to their family and friends of elephants, but they have a wide range of emotions and they can fill the role of a fierce leader and warrior if they need to, and they can also be calm and kind of like loving and docile. And I thought that like the wide range of emotions that they are, but what they also symbolize, I kind of liked that for me versus, you know, like a lion. I'm like not that crazy aggressive unless I like have to be, right? Like, so yeah, we'll go with elephant.
I could see it. Definitely a personality type. I could see that.
Thank you.
So when you have a day off, I know you've talked a little bit about what you like to do lifestyle wise, but what's your favorite way to spend a day off?
Oh, it's like a perfect day is waking up early and sticking to my morning routine. So I spend a couple hours walking my dog, podcast, sunshine, little meditation, my podcast, and my iced coffee. So it's like a whole nice loop. And then from there would go into ideally like either surfing or snowboarding. So depending on where I am. And then round out that day with dinner and drinks with good friends and some live music and either another evening surf sesh or just like something where it's just kind of like a nice relaxing environment, good food, live music, good friends, just kind of hanging out, drinks, good conversation, good food, that type of thing. That's kind of like that ideal day. And I'm assuming that question is outside of work.
Yes, it absolutely is. But that sounds like a perfect day to fill your cup.
Yeah.
Each activity. And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
Wouldn't know about my industry. This, like any, is hard, and you have to really be committed to selling. So like my industry is training like and consulting. But you have to do the selling. Like you have to get yourself out there. And so that's part of what I like about the sales training side of what I do is when I'm talking to people, I'm like walking the walk. I'm like, I am only here because of me selling to be here. And so it's like the ultimate walk of the walk, right? So I think that I have had some trainers and some other consultants reach out to me that they're looking for. I'm all for collaboration. I do the same thing, but I could tell that, you know, when I got to talking to them a little bit more, they didn't have like a biz dev strategy and they weren't actively trying to like follow a proper sales process because they're, maybe they didn't come from a sales background, but they're trainers. And so like, just because you, you know, hold your sign out your door that you're a trainer now doesn't mean that people are automatically going to hire you, right? There's a lot of trainers out there. There's a lot of consultants out there. Yeah. So I don't know if it's, you know, I don't think it's unique to my industry. It's probably every industry, but it might be a misconception. People think, oh, I'm going to make an online course or I'm going to, you know, be a consultant now. And it's like, you have to go sell and get those clients. And in the beginning, it's hard. So I feel grateful that I came from a sales background because it's kind of all I know. I don't know if I'm that good at anything else, like selling or speaking and training. That's like, that's my thing. But yeah, and that might not be, again, it might not be unique to my industry. It might be for everyone. If you're going to start something, know that you got to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's an important factor of everything that we do, but it's unique to your industry in the way you do it as well, because you are walking the walk and talking the talk as well. Yeah. You're doing everything. But Alex, thank you so much for coming on. But before I let you go, where can people find you, hire you, use your services? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah, absolutely. So across all social channels, Evolve Leadership, on LinkedIn, obviously Alex Resnick. But if you type in Alex Resnick or Evolve Leadership, it'll show up. It's same picture for everything. For anyone listening, the way to work with us is we work with businesses, small and medium-sized companies. We come in, we do communication skills training, self-awareness, EQ, help you get along better in teams, help your employees be better communicators. We also do that for sales teams and help businesses, you know, kind of dial in their sales processes. And then if anyone wants to reach out, email me directly, alex@evolveleadership.co. And if they want to reference this podcast, we're more than happy to apply a discount as a thank you for your listeners. We didn't set up a code because we're switching over some of our tech stacks. I don't want to get lost in the shuffle like a broken link. But yeah, just reach out to me directly. I'd love to hear from you. And then also, if anyone is just looking to like connect, network, would like some advice, a sounding board, it's like very easy to talk to me with no sales process. I know some people are like, I don't want to get sold. It's like, I don't sell people anything, you know, especially the first few conversations, I'm just there to learn. And I really do love connecting with all different types of entrepreneurs, coaches, anyone who's trying to grow in their career or their personal life, reach out. I'm happy to chat and connect. So that's how we met, right? So
exactly. He's not lying.
Yeah. I've never tried to tell you anything. We're just friends helping each other. So yeah. So I love this stuff to my core. I'm very passionate about it. If anyone is struggling with conversations or selling their products or services and they want to pick my brain, hit me up.
Well, he's not lying. Like I said, he definitely is very approachable. But thank you, Alex, for sharing all your wisdom today, just all the tips and your experience through entrepreneurship and how much it's going to help others just hearing your story. So I appreciate your time, your energy, and just coming on today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here too. Thank you.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Alex? He said so many things, but if you could pick one or two, write them below in the comment section, and we'll see you on the next video.